You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Watch where you're clicking. This hair takes a lot of work.
And Daryl.
May the spirits watch over you.
Greetings and welcome to episode 138 of The Training Dummies, recorded on September 17th. 2016. My name is Rob, and I would say that the show is recorded for you, but it's not. It's recorded for us, namely Daryl, so he can figure out what he's doing since he squandered all of his time in beta. So.
Yes, I did.
Daryl, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. I am doing very well. I'm looking forward to this episode. It's very self-serving, as always.
That's I've never heard that before. That's brand new information.
Right.
Well, what that means is that we have a very special guest. Bruce Song is with us tonight. He is the gentleman that keeps up the Destruction Warlock guides for MMO Champion. And even though that's Daryl still won't admit that that's his main, everybody give it up for Bruce Song. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I think I'm glad we're getting this one out of the way early in the expansion, so we can, before we start raiding, Daryl can get on his game.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Well, I think if people don't know who you are, we kind of will do a brief interview with you so they can get to know a little bit of your background, and then we'll dig into the meat, the good stuff there. Bruce, when did you start playing, and what, if it's not obvious, is your current main?
The main question's pretty easy. Playing my Warlock, primarily just playing Destro, because it's what I've grown to love over time. I originally started playing back, like, middle of BC. One of my best friends from school played in Vanilla, and we were having, like, a sleepover or something. He let me give it a shot and made a rogue. I played it for, like, 10 hours that night, and he finally kicked me off after I made it to like Red Ridge or something. So after that, I kind of just meandered around, playing, like leveling on my own, probably over like a couple months, pretty casually. I'd never really played very many, like RPGs, let alone like video games. So playing WoW was a very new experience, and there was a ton of things like I didn't really know about how the game worked. I made it to like level 58 or something before I knew that intelligence did nothing for rogues.
nice.
Yeah,
I think there's still rogues out there that haven't figured that out.
Just like warlocks don't need agility.
Yep.
Be agile.
It'd be kind of cool if agility gave you like a little bit of movement speed or something.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I switched to like a Shadow Priest and started raiding around Nax 2.0. And I mean Shadow Priest basically all the way to the Warlock revamp happened for Mists of Pandaria. And that's when I finally swapped off of Shadow Priest and made the transition over to Destro. I have to say that like Firelands or Dragon Soul, Shadow Priest is probably my favorite iteration of like any spec in the game, like ever. The kit was super powerful, super unique, and it had some like really interesting like minor optimizations that you could make that were kind of cool. Like the mastery back then was a buff to your dots, but it wasn't just like a passive buff to your dots, kind of like how Affliction's mastery is now. Instead, it was like when you cast a Mind Blast, you got a buff for like 15 or 20 seconds or something that increased the damage of your dots. So if you had like a Trinket proc or something that gave you a boatload of mastery, you could extend the duration of that by casting Mind Blast during the proc and then not casting Mind Blast for a while to keep up your super strong dots. It was kind of fun.
That dot snapshotting in
I remember that, yeah.
And even Mist was kind of the heyday of a lot of the dot classes.
Yeah, I'm the mechanics of dots are a lot simpler to understand now. But personally, I really enjoyed having the, I don't know about skill cap is the right word, but like the, some of the complexity that dot snapshotting gave you and some of the room it gave you to play better.
Yeah, it was a lot more thinking involved for sure.
Yeah. It definitely got to a certain point where relatively recently trinkets became so amazing. And like the, just the amount of damage that a trinket proc would give you made dot snapshotting pretty ridiculous. Affliction during Siege of Orgrimmar became kind of notorious for abusing dot snapshotting. I don't know if you guys saw the video of like some affliction lock on the second boss in Siege had like no gear but was like topping damage by a crazy amount just because he had trinket procs and then soul swapped all the dots around and kept snapshot. It was pretty crazy. After I finally made the transition over to my warlock, I basically played Destro all the way, like 100% of the time for like every boss fight, all the way to the end of Siege of Orgrimmar, for better or worse. I think I have a tendency to like to play relatively underpowered classes. One of my favorite specs in like the Cataclysm era was like Honor Among Thieves sub rogue. Yeah. It was a really interesting mechanic where the crits by your raid members would give you combo points. So you had some pretty crazy uptime and stuff.
Really? Wow. Huh.
Yeah. They got rid of that mechanic once it became a little bit out of hand, but it was pretty cool. Like before boss fights, you could have your healer give you combo points by spamming some crit heals on some people. You could start the fight with like 5 combo points all the time, and then when you actually got into a boss fight, if you had like a fire mage or some like class that crits a lot, you could spend all your time just like spamming eviscerates or just spamming your consumers. It was kind of cool. But then like so sub rogues and like shadow priests and even Destro for a lot of Mists of Pandaria was considered pretty underpowered, but I had fun playing it the whole time.
Yeah, I had that's when I started my Destruction Warlock 2 was in Mists, and I had a blast playing that then, for sure. And I grew very fond of it during Mists and Siege of Orgrimmar.
Yeah, Siege of Orgrimmar is kind of like the heyday of...
I know. Fire and Brimstone. Destro, oh, I think. God, I loved it.
Yeah. They made Fire and Brimstone pretty crazy, because they... I don't know if you remember, but like... It wasn't so bad. Like going into Siege of Orgrimmar, like before they did any hotfixes or anything, Destro was looking pretty poor. And then they made some hotfixes like the first week, and they buff like incinerate damage by like a crap ton to try and boost single target. But I'm not sure if they realized how much AoE potential that give Destro since Destro's single target was incinerate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could do some pretty fun things with Fire and Brimstone.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What is the origin of the name? Oh, sorry. What is the origin of the name Brusalk?
It's not super exciting or anything. When I was playing my rogue, I went by some name variants of like Alarim or something like that. But then when I swapped to Warlock, I wanted something a little bit different because it kind of used up all of the name variants for different alts and stuff. So just kind of rolled the random name generator a whole bunch of times, found a basic structure that I liked, and then changed the name around a little bit because it didn't really sound too natural. Didn't sound like me or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I somehow ended up on Brusalk. It's sounding natural to me, of course. Doesn't prevent people from, well, for whatever reason, pronouncing my name like Brusalak or Brusilk or something.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't really understand that. Seems kind of easy, but
yeah,
it happens pretty consistently.
Yeah, we've actually had quite a few people say they've used the random name generator. I think even Aleva last week said she had to use the random name generator and just switched a couple things around.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. So she got something close to what she liked and changed a couple letters around. So,
and yeah, that's cool. Kind of stuck with it for years now. Mine is funny because normally I just
put something ridiculous and it sticks or whatever. But like this most recent one came from one of the files. I was watching the Jason Bourne movie, and one of the secret files that you weren't supposed to see with a bunch of the top secret projects, like one of the names stuck out to me on there, and that's where I got the one I'm using right now.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. What would you say is your most fond memory entered because of Warcraft?
Fond memory?
I mean, you kind of shared some already too with the old school cheesing of the rogue mechanics and the
dodge
classes.
Those were great times. Unfortunately, I wasn't really at that point in time. Like, I was in a guild that I liked at the time, but thinking back on the guild, it wasn't nearly as much fun as raiding with the guys in Modest.
Uh-huh.
Modest is the guild that I was playing with. We were doing 10 heroic for the entirety of Mists of Pandaria. For those that don't know, Modest was pretty regularly competing for like top 10 US 10 man heroic kills of the entire instances. And we for Siege of Argamar, we just barely missed by like half an hour the US first kill for Garrosh.
Oh no. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so close though. But,
I know. It was like 30 minutes. It was really close.
I think we
are gonna be pushing pretty hard for Legion or
No. Unfortunately Modest died in the transition to 20 man mythics.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. We had like a really good core roster of 10 people, but trying to double your roster size is really, really difficult. And we got pretty close to working it out. In Heimal, we got decent progression for the first couple bosses, but then we had some bad things happen and the guild ended up, stop raiding and broke up. So now I am in Defenestrate, which is quite a nice guild on Blackrock. My point here is that Defenestrate is not quite as hardcore as Modest was.
Oh, okay.
But we're definitely trying pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, you say you missed it by half an hour to get his kill. I think we had half an hour to spare to get ahead of the curve before they took that achievement away.
Right.
But we got it. We got it.
Nice. Congrats.
Besides Warcraft, what is your favorite Blizzard title?
Favorite Blizzard title? Probably a tie between Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm at this point. It used to be Hearthstone. For some background, I really like Magic the Gathering. Mm-hmm. It's a really fun game. Unfortunately, I don't like their game clients too well. They have one which is like Magic Online or something, which is like their tournament client, and they have drafts and stuff. But they don't have a super nice UI. Like, it's kind of awkward to play because, I mean, mm-hmm. the game was designed for being played in person, so it doesn't really translate over too well. So I like Hearthstone because I feel like they made their game play really well from like a UI perspective on the computer, but I feel like they haven't taken advantage of the sorts of mechanics that they could since they're a digital card game and mm-hmm. they don't actually have paper cards. So I wish that they did more than they're doing. So that's kind of made Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm a little bit more of my favorites at this point.
You know, I think a lot of people would agree with you. I think with Hearthstone, it's like kind of I don't want to say one-trick pony, but it's kind of like they put the Blizzard shine on it, but they haven't done anything since in like 3 years, you know?
Yeah, like they've been releasing expansions and adventures, and they're pretty fun, but they haven't really like created any cards that I feel like really take advantage of the medium that they're using. Like, mm-hmm. For example, they have like Archmage Rafam, where like you swap decks and stuff in the adventure. I feel like they could explore more areas like that and have like wacky effects or cool like interactions between players and like their decks, at least more so than they're doing right now.
Yeah, I feel like with that digital medium, like you could do a lot of things that you couldn't do holding cards, because it can happen kind of instantly, and you could, like you said, you could swap decks with somebody. You could, you know, have a graveyard mechanic where things come back and you know, shuffle back in your hand and you don't even know it. Or, you know, there's a lot of things that you could do kind of seamlessly that, yeah, that would be kind of neat to see an evolution of that.
Yeah, it would be. Probably my favorite card in Hearthstone is Shifter's Heiress for that reason.
Yeah.
It's just pretty cool how, like, you have, like, a different random minion every turn, at the beginning of every turn. It introduces some interesting decisions about, is this card good, or should I just play it now?
I got yelled at by the actual Hearthstone account because I dusted a gold Shifter's Heiress.
Really?
Yeah, they called me out.
Wow.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Dusting a gold legendary is like you just get a free legendary of whatever you want, and that was more important to me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm still missing a few key legendaries in my collection.
I know Daryl is pretty hyped on all the Hearthstone talk.
Yeah, I think I have one legendary, because they gave you one at the last expansion or something, and I haven't played since. I'm a much happier person.
Your favorite?
Sorry, I'm a much happier person when I don't play Hearthstone.
Yeah, it's not for everyone. What would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time?
Favorite raid boss? Probably either Shaw of Fear or Primordius from Mists of Pandaria.
Primordius.
Yeah. So Shaw of Fear was just like, the length of the fight was ridiculous. Like, the fight was like 20 minutes long, 25 minutes long or something like that, and had like really like unique and distinct phases that where you did different things, and each phase kind of had like something really special that Destro could bring to the table specifically. Like in the first phase, you could stand outside of like the safe zone in the middle, and you could like immolate in Reign of Fear the adds that were out there that you're not really supposed to kill, but you can like you could like funnel that damage into the boss. And then in like the last phase too, like Shadowburn and Rain of Fire and Fire and Brimstone and stuff meant that you could do some really, really crazy damage in the last phase. Like, for example, like I remember specifically in the first phase, I would be like pretty much bottom of the meter. And then after we, at like the end of the final phase, I would be like topping the damage, which is just crazy. Like, for how long the first phase goes, to then catch up and surpass everybody else just in the last phase is a crazy amount of damage.
So were you doing havoc on the boss then, and then Shadowburn the adds? Is that what you're doing with that then?
Yeah, and oh, then okay. Playing the original Manoros Fury, which I wish that was still a thing. And it like increased the radius of all of your AoE spells by like 500% or something.
Yeah, something I forgot about that. Though. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you just had like, if you tossed a Rain of Fire down, it would just hit everything. It was really cool
in the room. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so you could like you would lay a Rain of Fire down and everything. It would generate you a whole bunch of Ember Bits. You can AoE immolate everything because they're all close enough to the boss that you can just cleave off. And then you can like Havoc Shadowburns back onto the boss, even though he's not in execute range, because mm-hmm. the adds were in execute range, get a ton more damage that way.
Oh, that's cool.
It was just pretty cool. But I think probably I'm trending towards Primordius as being my favorite raid boss, just because like, every mechanic that Destro had in Mists of Pandaria just like combined on Primordius to make Destro just like completely broken for that fight. Like, If you don't remember Primordius, it was the boss where a whole bunch of like globs would spawn on the outside of the room and then walk slowly towards the boss. And then if you killed a mob and then he walked over its puddle, you would get like a temporary buff of like a random stat. And then when you got like five, you would like transform, and so you'd try and like get everybody transformed all at once and then like pop less and then like burn the boss really fast and stuff. Mm-hmm. But because of Manoros Fury, like what Destro did on that fight was just like rain of fire the entire room and like AoE immolate all of those globs that were everywhere, and then you can just like completely tunnel all, like Chaos Bolts completely into the boss. It was
That's awesome.
It was really fun.
Oh, from all the shard generation too.
From all the shard generation, yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
when rain of fire sounds awesome. Was
that's
useful.
Right. I forgot about that too.
Yeah, it was great.
That sounds awesome.
it was in an era where shard generation for Destro on single target was like really low.
Yeah.
Like, I remember in Shaw of Fear, like around then, the number of Chaos Bolts that you would cast every 2 minutes was like 5, maybe 6 every 2 minutes. So like if you had a trinket proc, it was like a really important decision on whether it was worth it to cast a Chaos Bolt on that trinket proc or save it for your next Dark Soul in 2 minutes. Like the Ember generation was so low. But the impact of that meant that every single Chaos Bolt just did like massive damage.
Right.
So on a fight like Primordius, where you're just like your Ember generation is crazy, rather than casting like 5 Chaos Bolts every 2 minutes, you're casting like 20 or 30, and your damage just goes crazy. It was really fun.
That sounds awesome.
Huh. Yeah.
What has you the most hyped about Legion?
Probably raids. I've been enjoying World Quest quite a lot. I think that they're a really good variation on the daily theme. They're not as annoying as dailies. They still are kind of dailies, but it's the variation day to day and
you get to pick
the number
of
them.
Though.
Yeah, exactly. So that's fun. I haven't been super hyped about a lot of the class designs decisions that they've made. For Warlocks and then also for other classes, I've not heard like great things about some of the things that they've been doing. But when it comes to raid design, like the raid design team and Watcher have really been doing an amazing job over the past like expansion on creating raids and creating really fun, engaging, and complex raids. Like, in my opinion, raiding has never been so complex or difficult at the highest level as it has like ever. The number of mechanics and the amount of personal responsibility in 20 man mythics is really crazy when you're pushing cutting edge like the first week or two of progression. It's it's really tough. So in terms of like what has me the most hyped for Legion, I'm really looking forward to what the raid design team's gonna come out with this expansion.
Have you done any of the played through any of the raid testing in beta or anything?
I've not, unfortunately.
Good though, you get to go in and just enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I personally like to do things like as soon as they're available. Like I want to be on that cutting edge of stuff, and I'm working full time now, so I don't really have the ability to do raid testing midday, which sucks. I really wish personally that I could. But it does mean that this next week when Heroics come out, it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
I finally unlocked the Court of Stars and Arkway.
Mm-hmm.
That was a trashy experience. I guess it's the only way I can put it. So freaking much trash. It was unreal. Like next level trash, man.
There is a ridiculous amount of trash in those dungeons, yeah.
It's like, you go in there with somebody who isn't, like full on, like, in the know, and you're gonna be hurt.
Yep.
Nice. Alright, Rob, do you have any bonus questions?
No, because we need to get into it. We're all ready. Right.
Sounds good.
This is Alayla, and you're listening to the Training Dummies. Oh, shoot. I'm gonna try that again. This is Aleva sending some buffalo love, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
We told her we were going to use the mess up.
She's going to kill you at BlizzCon.
We told her. She should know by now that if you mess that up, we're going to use it. All right. Destruction Warlocks. This is totally self-serving because we're starting raiding hopefully next week, maybe the week after. We'll see how our raid team shapes up and how people get geared. But anyway, I plan to raid on my Destruction Warlock, co-alt, pseudo-main, whatever you want to call it. And
main.
Co-main. So, anyway, I want to get make sure I'm doing everything properly right off the hop here. So let's jump into this, and you want to go over the stats first. Like, what are the stats we're looking for destruction? And from what I understand so far, it's completely different from what it used to be in Warlords.
In Warlords, mastery was king. Like, you did everything you could to get extra mastery, just because the way the mastery worked, like, extra damage on your Ember Consumers and less extra damage on, like, basically every spell. Mastery was just great. Now, however, much to the chagrin of much of the community, as you've probably heard, the mastery is completely different, and it's now kind of like a second version of crit, if you want to think of it that way. So the mastery doesn't have as much synergy with our AoE rotation, because it used to be that Fire and Brimstone was an Ember Consumer, so your mastery would double dip because it would affect your mastery through Fire and Brimstone, and then also affect the spells that you're doing, that you're casting to do damage. So, like, mastery is just like an amazing AoE stat. Now, haste is king, basically. The mechanics of how you generate soul shards now have completely changed. Immolate is now, like, basically your primary shard generator. You have a 15% chance to generate a soul shard every time an immolate ticks, and you have a 30% chance to generate a soul shard every time it crits. And then you have you will always generate a soul shard every time you cast Conflag, and Conflag's cooldown is reduced by haste. So in terms of the way that you you get extra damage, like, normally haste will be, like, over time, if you have no class mechanics, haste will be like 1% damage, and crit will be 1% damage on average, and versatility will be like 1% damage on average. But once you introduce class mechanics for Destro, like, Immolate and Conflag, like, benefit massively from haste. Getting more ticks of Immolate means more opportunities to get a chance on a shard from Immolate.
Okay.
More haste means more Conflags, which means more soul shards. So just get all the haste you can, and that's, like, the best way that you can get extra soul shards. And that's, like, the best way that you can boost your damage. Crit also is a okay way to boost your shard generation, by way of Immolate having a 30% chance to generate a soul shard on crit. But that's crit's only benefit towards shard generation, compared to Immolate, which is, or compared to haste, which is just, like, multiple spells and in multiple ways just gives you more. So haste is better in that regard.
Okay.
So haste is, like, your number one stat. And then after that, it kind of shuffles around depending on talent choices pretty heavily. I won't really get into specifics of talent choices and stuff, but it's pretty much get haste as your primary stat, and then after that, probably crit, but it's perfectly fine if you have versatility or mastery.
Okay.
One interesting difference is if you have the legendary Feratory of Souls, that changes things up a little bit. For those that do not know, Feratory of Souls causes your damaging fire spells to have a 15% chance to generate a soul shard. So that effect has the effect that haste drops down pretty significantly in value. It drops down to the value of, like, basically all the other stats. And the reason for that is if you don't have Feratory, say you're generating, like, 1.5 soul shards every, like, 10 seconds or something. If you get, like, a whole bunch of haste and you go up to, like, 2 soul shards, that's, like, a 33% gain in the number of soul shards that you're generating every 10 seconds. But if you have Feratory is kind of like this massive boost to your baseline shard generation. So, like, rather than going from, like, 1.5 to 2, you're going to be going from, like, 3 to 4 or something. And rather than that being, like, a 33% gain, it's going to be more like a 20% or a 25% gain or something. So the value of getting extra haste in terms of your shard generation goes down once you get Feratory.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's other reasons for that, but that's one possible explanation.
Right.
But yeah, other than that, Feratory is pretty. It's a pretty good legendary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go through the talent tree then,
because
there's a lot of choices, and I've been trying to do a lot of reading, and I've looked in the. I've taken a peek in the Warlock Discord every now and then, and in the Destruction area, there's different people saying different things, and I don't know what's best, but if you wouldn't mind, can you go through each level and, you know, what situation would I want to use? Like, so the first level, 15 here, there's Backdraft, Roaring Blaze, and Shadowburn. Which is the best, or what situation would I want to use each of those?
Sure. So Backdraft is, basically, your like pure single target talent.
Okay.
It provides you a pretty static benefit, in that you'll get like an extra incinerate or so of cast time reduction every conflag that you cast.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you an extra like 80k fire damage every like 10 seconds or something. So it's a decent benefit in terms of your single target potential. Roaring Blaze is quite complicated. It changes up how you have to play quite a bit. You have to do this thing where you have a fully pandemic immolate. So rather than like the 18-second duration mm-hmm. normal immolate, you go all the way up to 24 seconds by casting immolate twice. And then you double conflag to get 25%, and then 25% of that damage again applied to the MLA.
Right.
And then the next time your conflag comes up, like the third time, you cast that conflag, and then you let the immolate run out all the way. And then at the last second, you reapply immolate, and then after that's all done, you don't cast any conflags. And then when you're about to reach two charges of conflag again, regardless of the duration on immolate left, you cast immolate again, and then you do the whole thing again. So you do two more conflags, and then the third conflag, and then start. Anyway.
Backdraft.
Yeah. Backdraft is much, much simpler
yeah.
than Roaring Blaze. So single target backdraft is pretty much how you want to go.
Okay. I was totally following you, but there's a point where, like, if you're not a min maxer, if you're on kind of a casual team, it's like you're like I just don't have the wherewithal to track that much stuff.
Yeah, it can that can definitely behoove you to choose Backdraft or Shadowburn instead of Roaring Blaze if you so choose. The one special thing about Roaring Blaze is that it synergizes really well with having more than one target and using Havoc. Mm-hmm. So you can apply your immolates if you're using like Wreak Havoc or something. Rather than getting just one immolate buff, now you can get two immolates buffed
right.
With the Roaring Blaze, and it like doubles the benefit of the talent. So for like a two target cleave sort of fight, Roaring Blaze is quite good. And I will mention that on a single target fight, Roaring Blaze is like only just barely behind Backdraft. Like Backdraft is better, but Roaring Blaze is pretty close.
And then once you get two targets, it jumps, does it?
It jumps. Yeah, it jumps pretty significantly.
Okay. I've tried it. Like I've, you know, just some dungeons here recently. I tried it, and I was able to do that rotation as you just described it, but it's complicated. And a lot of times I'll screw it up just because it's like, oh, damn it. I hit conflag when I shouldn't have hit conflag because this is supposed to be the immolate that doesn't have any. And it's like, oh, then everything's screwed up. It's like, oh. Because once you get off of that, it's hard to get back onto it, right? It's
Yeah, it's definitely a very punishing rotation.
So I've gone back to Backdraft. For now, anyway.
I don't blame you. Backdraft is a good single target talent. Roaring Blaze is good, like, cleave talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shadowburn is basically exclusively a shard generator at this point. Like, the damage that Shadowburn itself does, because Shadowburn is no longer an execute, it's not that great. But it still generates you one net soul shard if a target dies. So Shadowburn's really good if you're doing, like, dungeons or something where the trash is going to have adds dying all the time. So you can get a whole bunch of extra shards and cast more Chaos Bolts or Rain of Fires or...
Oh, like Court of Stars or the Arcway.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Okay. So it only costs one soul shard, soul shard, and it gives you two then? So is that...
Soul shard?
Yep.
Okay.
It costs one, and it gives you two.
Gives you two.
So it has the net effect of one. Giving you a soul shard if the target dies.
Right, right.
Shadowburn's basically only good for the soul shard generation portion. Like,
right.
The damage that it does is decent, but it's like it's not a better use of your soul shards than Chaos Bolt is. Chaos Bolt is still your primary single target consumer. Shadowburn, by way of its soul shard generation, gives you more Chaos Bolts if you can take advantage of it. So it's a good choice for fights with tons of adds and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Level 30. What are we doing here?
Level 30. You're trying to pretend that Mana Tap doesn't exist.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. My personal biases aside, Reverse Entropy is a pretty good passive talent option for a single target fight or a two target cleave fight potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a passive option, Reverse Entropy is
yeah, it's
pretty
that's what I've got right now.
Mm-hmm. I personally really like Reverse Entropy if I'm like doing world quests or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just having the faster Chaos Bolt cast time is quite nice.
Yeah, that's the one thing I noticed that I missed the most when I got rid of my 4-piece set or from Warlords was the longer time it took to cast Chaos Bolts, because that was one of the benefits you got was increased or a shorter cast time for your Chaos Bolts. So without this another half second, oh my god, I don't know if you'd be able to get any Chaos Bolts off.
It would be a lot harder, that's for sure.
Jeez.
I'm right now I'm spec'd Reverse Entropy in my Chaos Bolts, like a 2-second cast, which is already kind of long, but I also have a lot of haste. But yeah, if I take like Cataclysm or something, it goes up to like 2.5 seconds, which is a super long time if there's a fight with like knockback mechanics or something.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Yeah. Nothing more infuriating than being at the very end of your Chaos Bolt cast and getting knocked back. Yeah.
Yep.
So Reverse Entropy is like a decent option. Cataclysm is really, really good for dungeons, by way of it basically being an AoE Chaos Bolt worth of damage.
Uh-huh.
And then also it applying Immolate to everything. Since we don't have Fire and Brimstone anymore baseline, and Fire and Brimstone doesn't let you AoE Immolate, the ability to apply Immolate to everything that it hits is really strong. It saves you a ton of globals. It does really good damage. Cataclysm is just really good for AoE. I haven't fully investigated whether it's worth casting purely on a two-target cleave fight, but I think it would be pretty close on a two-target fight. But I haven't specifically done numbers for that yet. And then Mana Tap is a really awkward talent. In that it consumes 25% of your current mana to give you 10% increased damage for 20 seconds. So it's like a maintenance buff. It's like a maintenance buff. But then like you have this like current mana mechanic where you have to sit with as little mana as possible in order for Mana Tap to consume as little mana as possible so that you're not having to life tap more. So you're like constantly at like the bottom end of your mana bar and you're having to life tap a whole bunch more. The playstyle is probably fun for some, not me personally, but we'll see. But in terms of damage potential, I think Mana Tap is basically the best for single target, if I remember right. But then if you have the opportunity to make good use of Cataclysm on a semi-regular basis, I think Cataclysm's a better choice.
Okay.
But for just like a single target fight, if you want to deal with the mechanics of Mana Tap. Mana Tap is a good option.
Okay. I tried it. I didn't like it. But yeah, I've tried it. Level 45. What are we looking at here?
You are looking at the current iteration of level 45, and it's changing a little bit in 7.1, which is interesting. Right now, you have Demon Skin, Mortal Coil, and Shadow Fury all on one tier. And Demon Skin is basically what you want to take. You can take Shadow Fury if you need it, and if you need a stun, like if you need that utility,
right,
Shadow Fury is good.
Yeah.
If you're doing like a mythic dungeon or something where stuns are quite useful in terms of for interrupting mobs and saving tank damage and stuff like that, Shadow Fury is really good. But Demon Skin is just a crazy amount of survivability. Not only is Soul Leech now 20% of your max health, but it also passively generates. So if you're just like out in the world or something, you like always have a shield for 20% of your maximum health. It's really strong.
Yeah, that's nice.
I pretty much just default to Demon Skin and then take Shadow Fury if I specifically need it. Now, the 7.1 thing is that Blizzard's actually swapping the positions of Demon Skin and Demonic Circle. So Demon Skin's now going to be a level 75 talent, and Demonic Circle is now going to be a level 45 talent. So that changes things a little bit. It basically makes that tier more just up to your personal preference. It's a net nerf to our survivability, because now we have to choose between Dark Pack and we have to choose between Demon Skin. Whereas right now we can have both. But it does mean that we have the ability to take Demonic Circles now. Like, we actually have the ability to have a little bit of mobility. So, personally, I'm sad to see us become less tanky, but I'm also glad that we have the ability to take Demonic Circle.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah.
So level 60.
Eradication, Fire and Brimstone, and Soul Harvest. Huh? So Eradication is quite good for a single target fight, and it also has really good synergy with Wreak Havoc, because you can Havoc Chaos Bolts off onto both mobs, and now both mobs are taking 12% increased damage for 6 seconds.
Oh, okay, so it does stack. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it doesn't stack, but it does apply to both mobs.
It applies to both is what I meant. But yeah, okay.
So it's quite a good talent when paired with Wreak Havoc especially, but it's also a really good single target talent. So Eradication, single target, Fire and Brimstone. Fire and Brimstone basically makes Destro's AoE like doable again. Since Incinerate now hits all enemies near your target, you're getting like 210% spell power to everything every 1.5 seconds or whatever.
Right.
So that is like a really nice chunk of damage. I haven't verified this, but I think casting Incinerates is better than actually casting Rain of Fire. Or doing like the immolate rotation for keeping up Rain of Fires going. Like, I think it's better to like cast whatever Rain of Fires you can and then just like incinerate and not worry about trying to get more more shards.
Right.
But the major benefit of Fire and Brimstone is that rather than it being kind of a little bit of a clunky, like ground targeted effect, it just hits everything near your target. So if you're doing like a mythic dungeon or you're doing like a heroic dungeon or something, you can cast that incinerate, and even if the tank is moving the mobs around, you're still going to get that AoE compared to if you're trying to cast Rain of Fire, and then 2 seconds after you cast the Rain of Fire, the tank moves them out of the Rain of Fire, and now you lost all your AoE damage.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite good for that. So Fire and Brimstone's quite strong for AoE. And then Soul Harvest is an interesting kind of like in-betweener talent. It is a 2-minute cooldown, increases your damage done by you and your pets by 20%. But its like special mechanic is that it lasts 10 seconds, but for every target that you have an immolate on, it will increase the duration of the buff by 2 seconds up to a maximum of 30 seconds. So if you have, 10? If you have 10 mobs with an immolate on them, then on a 2-minute cooldown, you'll get 20% increased damage for 30 seconds, which is a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So this talent synergizes really, really well with Cataclysm, because you can Cataclysm and get immolate on everything and then Soul Harvest, and now you have 30 seconds of 20% increased damage. So it has some really nice synergies there.
And
I'm not really clear on when Soul Harvest is like specifically better than Fire and Brimstone or Eradication, but one situation where I personally can see Soul Harvest being good is if it's like a boss fight and there's a really quick burst AoE phase and then a really important single target phase after that. So what you can do is you can Cataclysm for the burst AoE, get immolate up on everything, and Soul Harvest, and now once all the burst AoE is done, you have 20% increased damage for the important single target phase, which is much, much better than Eradication would be for single target potential. I think Soul Harvest has sense. I think Soul Harvest has some pretty exciting potential. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay, level 75. So in its current iteration and then future iteration, what are we looking at here?
Current iteration, you pretty much want to take Dark Pack, unless you want the mobility of Burning Rush. I've been taking Burning Rush for dungeons and stuff personally, just because the dungeons aren't scary enough that I need the survivability of Dark Pack, and being able to keep up with the group seems better to me. So I personally have been taking Burning Rush primarily for dungeons. But when it comes raid time, like, Dark Pack can just let you completely ignore entire mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if you combine it with Grimoire of Sacrifice on the level 90 tier, where rather than sacrificing 20% of your demon's health, you're going to be sacking 20% of your health. So you're going to lose 20% of your health, but then you're going to get a shield for 80% of your max health. So like, you basically have another health pool.
Right.
So
okay.
Mechanics that would just like one shot other classes, like your health pool is not even going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy.
So I've been using Dark Pact actually more than anywhere else is out in the world, where I jump off really high cliffs. So I hit Dark Pact and Unending Resolve. I hit them both, and then I don't die when I land on the ground. It's been working very well, actually. So
one way to do it.
Yeah. So I've done that several times where I would have been sure death otherwise.
Do those actually work for fall damage?
They have been. I haven't died. I swear these would have killed me otherwise. I'm positive.
Huh. I will have to give that a shot later. And if you make me fall to my death, I'm coming for you.
All right. Whenever I've done it, I haven't died. That's all I know. And I'm sure I would have. Right. I'm sure these heights were high enough that I would have died. Positive. Like 80% positive. Right.
You have me intrigued.
Okay. I'm pretty
you
sure
may,
it's
you may see
fall.
Me dead in Suramar later.
That would be the place to do it, man. Suramar.
There you go.
Yep. Mess it. Jumping off every little thing you can.
All right. Right now, Dark Pact is really good.
Sounds like that's what he's going to need for our team.
Yeah.
If you can keep yourself alive a little longer.
It is quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 7.1, as we mentioned before, Demonic Circle is going to be on the other tier, so now you're going to have to choose between Demon Skin, Burning Rush, or Dark Pack. So that's going to be a much harder decision. Really, if you're just looking for survivability, you probably want Demon Skin, unless there's a specific fight mechanic that you can negate with Dark Pack, just by nature of Dark Pack being more of a cooldown-oriented thing rather than passive.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of like self-healing that you'll get out of Demon Skin for any fight that doesn't have like a significant like AoE explosion or something is probably going to be better.
All right, level 90. This is different than it was before. This is like significantly different. So What are we choosing here? Why would we want to pick any of these, the grimoires?
So it used to be the Grimoire of Supremacy was like improved versions of your default pets.
Yeah.
But now in Legion, Grimoire of Supremacy is what Demonic Servitude used to be, which is permanent Doomguard or Infernal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So right now, permanent Doomguard or Infernal isn't really better in like a raid situation than Grimoire of Service or Grimoire of Sacrifice. However, if you're doing like world quests or something, having a permanent Infernal to tank for you is pretty strong.
I've actually started doing that the last couple of days, trying that out, and I like it.
Yeah, he's able to tank a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing some Suramar world quests in the really like closely packed together area of Suramar with a whole bunch of like elite mobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to solo with my Infernal like packs of like three or four or five elite Suramar dudes. Just alternating basically between drain lifing to keep my health up and then health funneling to keep my Infernal alive.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah. He's a pretty strong tank. Also, if you've been doing Withered Army training, he's also really good for Withered Army training. Because one thing you can do is you can send your Infernal out to attack things, and then him attacking things doesn't count as you doing, like, you attacking them, so your Withered dudes won't actually attack while your Infernal's doing stuff. So your Infernal can be a safe way to take care of some of those more annoying mobs, like the Arcane dudes that have the potential to wreck you early on. You can just send your Infernal out, and eventually he'll kill stuff, and your dudes will be nice and safe. In terms of, like, raiding potential or dungeon potential, if you're doing, like, a single target fight, you want Grimoire of Service with servicing out your Imp, because of the passive on your Imp's mm-hmm. Firebolt, like your Imp's primary source of damage, does extra damage if you have an Immolate on the target. So your Imp is the pet that you want to use. But then also your Service Imp has like the same thing, so your Service Imp comes out and he's going to be better than the other service options.
Right, okay.
And then if there's a fight with like AoE, or you're doing like a dungeon or something, Grimoire of Sacrifice is really strong. It's not particularly exciting mechanically. Like, your spells now sometimes also like pulse an AoE for like 45k to everything around the target. But the damage that it gives you and the fact that it's AoE damage is quite strong. So if you're doing like an AoE fight or something, Grimoire of Sacrifice can be a significant portion of your damage. Or if you're doing a single target fight, Grimoire of Service is a great option.
Right, okay. Okay. Now level 100. I've gone with Wreak Havoc because it's amazing, I think. And I don't know if I would ever need the other two or what situations I would want the other two, but yeah, if you want to go into 100.
Yeah. So Wreak Havoc is incredibly strong. It has really good synergies with multiple other talents. It has a really good synergy with Eradication, being able to keep the Eradication debuff up on multiple targets. It has really strong synergy with Roaring Blaze, being able to keep multiple super buffed Immolates up on multiple targets.
Mm-hmm.
It has really nice synergies, and it makes your cleave damage really, really strong. It makes your two target cleave basically the best in the game. So it's a very, very strong talent. If you're in the kind of awkward dungeon pull area of like three to four mobs where it's like, it's not enough for you to AoE, but single target kind of feels bad. Wreak Havoc can help you keep up with some of the other classes pretty mm-hmm. nicely. So Wreak Havoc, really good two target or like low number of AoE target fights. It's really strong there. Channel Demon Fire is really awkward. You would think Channel Demon Fire is like the single target talent on the tier, except it's outclassed by Soul Conduit, so it's not even that good. They did do an interesting hotfix a couple of weeks ago, making it so that Channel Demon Fire will go to your Havoc target.
Okay.
So you can double the benefit of your Channel Demon Fire by having Havoc on another target, and then Channel Demon Fire again. Now it's shooting off 15 to both targets rather than just one.
Right, okay.
So it could be okay for that, but I mean, if it's two targets anyway, like you're gonna wanna be wreak Havoc because it's two targets, and having all of your spells duplicated basically to two targets is much better than Channel Demon Fire.
okay. Yep.
And then Soul Conduit, every soul shard has a 20% chance to be refunded. It's just a really nice boost to your effective soul shard generation. Like it's a refund, so it's not really your soul shard generation, but it's giving you back soul shards that you spent. So it's kind of like de facto generation. Lets you cast, like the end result is it lets you cast more things.
Right.
So that's a pretty good single target talent. It synergizes pretty nicely with Eradication, because the refund means that you have more soul shards, which means you can cast more Chaos Bolts, which means that you can keep the Eradication debuff up longer. So it has some nice synergies there. Soul Conduit also has some niceties if you're trying to do some sort of like burst AoE with Rain of Fire, since normally you can't cast Rain of Fire back-to-back because it's three and you can only store five soul shards.
Right,
but if you get a refund on Soul Conduit, then you can do Rain of Fire into Rain of Fire. Has some nice things there.
Okay, that makes sense.
But in general, I'd say Soul Conduit is basically your single target talent, and then Wreak Havoc is your two target talent. And then if you're going into an AoE situation, it's probably just going to be whichever one that you have for other reasons. Like it's not like in AoE you're going to be taking Soul Conduit specifically. Like Soul Conduit does synergize with Rain of Fire, but if it's AoE, you're probably taking Fire and Brimstone anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be casting the Rain of Fire. So it's probably going to be whether it's primarily a single target fight that has some AoE phases, or a two target fight that has some AoE phases. It's probably going to be your decision.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's get into the single target rotation then. What is the basic rotation or priority system that we should be doing for single target?
For single target, basically your number one priority is to keep Immolate up on all the things. It's your best way to generate soul shards. And so keeping it up 100% of the time means more soul shards, which means more Chaos Bolts, which means more damage. So Immolate is extremely important. Other than that, you never want to waste your soul shard generation. So what I mean by that is you don't want to be sitting at five soul shards and then have to cast a Conflag, and then now that soul shard that you generated just is for nothing. Like, you don't get that soul shard. Or if you're sitting at five and then you get an Immolate proc and you get a soul shard off the Immolate, you don't actually get the soul shard because you were capped. So you never want to lose a soul shard to being capped if you can avoid it.
Right.
So that's like your second concern. So if you're sitting at like, four and definitely five soul shards, then you want to get a Chaos Bolt out, or you want to get a Shadow Burn or something. Like, you just want to get that soul shard out there so that you don't overcap.
So now that they hot fixed in that we start with three shards, so would you want to do Immolate, then one Conflag, Chaos Bolt, then do your second Conflag? Just so that you're not losing a possible Immolate shard while you're casting your Chaos Bolt? Like, is that...
Are you talking about the beginning of a fight?
Yeah, right at the beginning, because you start with three soul shards right away.
Yeah. At the beginning of a fight, you can precast two incinerates if you're max distance, and they won't pull the boss until they actually reach the boss, and due to travel time, like, you can get two incinerates off just like ahead of time, which is nice.
Really?
You can try it on your next dungeon. Just make sure you're max distance.
Okay, but you have to know when they're actually pulling though, right? Okay. So we'd need
a
so at what countdown would you start the cast? So if they did a countdown timer, say.
It would be whatever your incinerate cast time is times two. So like mine is a 1.5 second cast time for incinerate. So I would start casting incinerate there's three globals. You have incinerate, and then you have incinerate, and then you have immolate, and then the immolate hits at the same time as your first incinerate does, and that's right at T equals zero, like right when the pulse pulls. Mm-hmm. So it would be the cast time of your immolate plus two times the cast time of your incinerate. So I have like 1.1 plus 1.5 plus 1.5, so 4.1 seconds or whatever.
Okay.
That'd be when I'd start.
Holy, okay, that sounds like more micromanaging than I need to worry about, but I'm going to give it a try anyway and see if I can piss off my tanks by pulling early by accident. Again.
Again.
Just warlock things?
Yes.
Okay. No, because that's on you, man.
All right.
So to answer your question, after you get your recharges rolling at the beginning of the fight, so after you get a dimensional rift off and after you get a conflag off, you want to get a chaos bolt out there.
That's the other question. Dimensional rifts. When do I put those in?
So you never want, for the same reasoning as you never wanting to lose soul shards, because it means you lose chaos bolt casts.
Mm-hmm.
You also never want to be sitting on your max charges of conflag or dimensional rift.
Right.
So you always want to be sitting at two or less charges of dimensional rift, and if you are about to hit that three, you should just cast the dimensional rift.
Okay.
Similarly, if you're about to generate to your second charge of conflag, you should just get the conflag out there, assuming it will give you the soul shard. So you never want to cap on those, because if you are sitting on max charges of those two abilities, then you're losing time towards when you would have been able to cast your next conflag or your next dimensional rift. So at the beginning of the fight, like you get your immolates and your incinerates, whatever, at the beginning of the fight out of the way, you have immolate ticking, that's important. Then you get a conflag off, then you get a dimensional rift off, you cast your doom guard to get that cooldown rolling, you get a chaos bolt out there, and then from there you can kind of just use the normal priority rotation.
Oh, okay.
But the most important thing is to get all your charges rolling so that you're not losing anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about AoE? Now, does this probably matter significantly on the talents you've chosen as well, I suppose, hey?
Yes.
So, what would be basic rotation? What are we looking at then?
So if you have no talents chosen, or you're not talented into Fire and Brimstone or Cataclysm, then your rotation revolves around your ability to get Rain of Fires out on the mobs.
Okay.
So if you're at three soul shards or above, get a Rain of Fire out there. Otherwise, just make sure that you have immolates ticking on everything that you possibly can, because having the immolates ticking on everything that you possibly can is going to give you the soul shard generation to be able to cast more Rain of Fires. So the AoE rotation baseline is basically just like tab dotting immolate on everything and casting Rain of Fire as soon as you can. If you've chosen Cataclysm, Cataclysm does the initial task of getting immolate up on everything for you, so you can get your Rain of Fires out there, and then you can fill with any conflags that you have to get a soul shard to help you get to the next Rain of Fire. But Cataclysm just kind of jump starts your AoE rotation, if you want to think of it that way.
Okay, great.
The big change in terms of how you do the AoEs, Fire and Brimstone, what you want to do is you can get any Rain of Fire casts out of the way, like however many, if you have the ability to cast a Rain of Fire, you can get the Rain of Fire out on things, but then from there, just spam incinerate on one of the mobs that's not going to die, so that you get all of the AoE incinerate damage on everything. It's not I don't believe it's worth it to continue your tab.immolate Rain of Fire rotation, because I think just casting incinerates on everything super fast is better than trying to keep immolate up and getting Rain of Fire damage going and stuff like that.
Okay, and then it's not worth it to try and just cleave two of them with Wreak Havoc? Just incinerate everything?
That is true if there is a sufficient number of mobs.
Okay.
I don't know offhand what a sufficient number of mobs specifically is.
Okay.
It's probably somewhere around the 5 or 6.
Okay.
Where Fire and Brimstone would be better than just cleaving two targets.
Okay. 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 Cooldowns. Do we have any? We don't have much for cooldowns anymore, do we? It's our Doomguard, Infernal, and if you have Grimoire of Service, it's our Service Pet. Is that it?
And then also Soul Harvest, if you've taken Soul Harvest. That's a 2-minute cooldown.
Oh, yeah, right. But, okay.
Yep. But those are the cooldowns that we have access to. Baseline, we just have Summon Doomguard and Summon Infernal. If you have like a big AoE phase coming up, you could potentially save your Infernal for the AoE phase. Or if it's just like a single target fight, you just cast Summon Doomguard on cooldown pretty much. The one kind of special unique thing is that the Destro artifact has the artifact talent, which is a gold trait called Lord of Flames, which makes it so that once every 10 minutes your Infernal's like awakening, so like when it hits the ground, it will summon 3 additional Infernals that'll serve you for 25 seconds. That is actually like a summon Infernal with the 3 extra Infernals is more damage than a Doom Guard on one target. So if you're not going to be casting summon Infernal specifically on a fight, for an AoE phase, you can start the fight with summon Infernal, rather than a Doom Guard. For the first cast, and you'll get more damage out of it through Lord and Flames.
All right, cool.
But yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to mention. Other than that, the age old practice of saving soul shards up for any cooldowns that you have coming up, whether that's Soul Harvest or a Trinket proc or something, saving soul shards so that you can cast Chaos Bolt under those procs or damage buffs is incredibly important.
Okay. Okay. So in the notes here, I have movement fights because I basically copied the show notes from the last time we did Destruction. And at that point, I was having a hell of a time with movement fights. If I had to move at all, my DPS dropped significantly. So I don't know if that's going to be the case anymore, but is there any tips you can give for movement fights right now?
Movement fights right now. There's some. So if
feels
you can,
like there's a lot in the dungeons right now. There's a lot of moving around.
Yeah, there is. If you can, being cognizant of where you're going to have to move, so that you can, whenever you cast a Dimensional Rift or you cast Conflag as a part of your normal rotation, you can spend a GCD of movement towards wherever you know that you're going to need to be. That is a kind of like a micro optimization that you can make, so that rather than having to spend that GCD later, if you didn't move during that instant cast, you can do it ahead of time and kind of be on the ball getting there a little bit earlier so that you have less movement when you're actually forced to.
Right. Okay.
So that's a micro optimization you can make. Other than that, if there's a really important burn phase that also happens to be a phase where there's a lot of movement, you could consider saving your Dimensional Rift charges for that phase so that you get not only extra damage, but you're also spending your time in that phase casting things that are relevant. You can do that. Another thing you can do, if you're talented into Wreak Havoc, is you can spend some of the time that you're forced to move just casting a Wreak Havoc on something, casting it on the boss or something, rather than having to cast that Wreak Havoc later. You can spend some useful time while you're not doing anything else to keep the Havoc debuff up on the boss or up on an ad or something.
Right, or just refresh it.
Mm-hmm. So, worst case, you can spend some time, if you're talented in wreak Havoc, just doing that.
Right.
Also, Shadowburn, if you're talented into Shadowburn, it is not an execute anymore. So you can use it at any health percentage that you want. You could potentially spend some globals if it's an important burn phase or something, casting Shadowburn as opposed to Chaos Bolt. Now, if you do that, you are going to be nerfing your damage potential because Chaos Bolt is going to be a better use of those soul shards. But you can't cast Chaos Bolt while you're moving, and you can cast Shadowburn. So, like, if it's a choice between no damage or most of the damage, most of the damage is better.
Right.
But that's going to be kind of up to you to decide based off of what's going on in the fight and what's important.
Okay. Huh. Okay. Well, no, that's definitely good tips there. Is there any other advanced tips and tricks? Like, I know there's the Roaring Blaze is pretty advanced, I think. Well, advanced for me anyway. Is there any other advanced tips and tricks that you can think of that might help or could help someone?
Advanced tips or tricks.
Like even that incinerate that you were talking about, like, cause it takes so long to travel, precasting that is a good one, but anything similar to that?
The main thing that I can think of is kind of an intricacy about how channeled demon fire works. It's not really going to be like making or breaking your damage, primarily because you're probably not talenting into channel demon fire anyway. channel demon fire will cast 15 bolts of hellfire at random targets that are affected by emulate. And if you remember earlier, I mentioned a hotfix where they made it so that channel demon fire will duplicate to your Havoc target. One thing that you should be sure not to do is have immolate on the target that you have Havoc on when you cast channel demon fire, because if channel demon fire happens to shoot a bolt at the target that has Havoc, it won't duplicate that bolt because Havoc only duplicates single target spells that are cast at other targets. So if you're going to be trying and micro optimizing channel demon fire and trying to duplicate it with Havoc, you want to make sure that the Havoc goes on a target that does not have immolate. Otherwise, you'll lose some of those duplicated bolts. For example, rather than getting 30 bolts of Fellfire per cast if you have Havoc on two targets, you might only get like 24 or something because like six of the bolts happen to choose the Havoc target.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Gotcha, because they could go to that one instead of this one. And they wouldn't duplicate. That makes sense. That makes sense. I got it.
Other than that, movement and that micro optimization are two of the biggest things that you can do at this point. There used to be some sort of advanced tips and tricks where you could Havoc Shadow Burns off of dying mobs onto the boss and stuff like that.
But Shadow Burns
no longer an execute.
I know. I love doing that. That was great.
It felt really satisfying to do.
It did.
I'm sad that it's not a thing
especially
anymore.
Especially if you get three of them in. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah. It was great. So there's not really that potential anymore. So the only other thing that I can really think of offhand might be trying to game Soul Harvest with having Immolates up to have an extended duration on Soul Harvest.
Right, okay.
There's some interesting potential there for some advanced gameplay. But I don't really have any suggestions for that other than have him laid up on all the things before you cast Soul Harvest.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then I guess the one kind of utility tip that I might give is that you don't always have to Grimoire of Service out your imp. You do have the capability to service out a Fell Hunter, for example. And Grimoire of Service whenever you service out a particular pet, it will immediately cast its primary utility. So if you service out an imp, it'll instantly try to cleanse a harmful magic effect from you. If you service out a Voidwalker, it'll instantly taunt. A succubus will seduce the target instantly, CC them. And the Fellhunter will instantly attempt to interrupt the target. So you can potentially sacrifice a little bit of damage potential for the ability to have another interrupt. That's one thing that you could think of.
Okay, yeah, because I thought we just lost our interrupt this time around.
We pretty much did. Like, yeah. you can technically summon the Fellhunter, but because Immolate boosts the damage of the imp by so much, you're losing a lot of damage if you do that.
Yeah. It was nice before when if you use Grimoire as sacrifice, you at least got the ability of the pet that you sacrifice. So,
yeah, I don't know why that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah,
I really wish that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Just because it felt really nice to be able to have access to that utility, even if you're using Grimoire sacrifice. I'm definitely sad to see that it's gone.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Trying to think here if I have any other questions. I don't think so. You answered quite a bit, actually, of questions that I had. Rob, do you have any questions?
No. You actually asked a couple that I...
Oh, okay.
You're like the movement stuff and everything, so...
Yeah. You're unusually quiet this episode. It'd be like I am for Hearthstone episodes.
Well, no, I mean, this is definitely your thing. And
yeah, I know.
And the last Warlock I leveled was Affliction, so it's...
Yeah.
It's there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have any other questions. Is there any last thing you want to give us for any last points you want to make?
Last points. I guess the one other thing that I could mention is if you're not taking Wreak Havoc, there is still some of the gameplay that surrounds pre-casting a Havoc, except it's not really so much anymore because Havoc only lasts for 8 seconds and it's not like a certain number of spells. So like you can potentially kind of do it for certain things, but it's not really that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But other than that, I think that's pretty much everything.
Okay. I guess there's one last thing, but it doesn't... I don't think it's going to translate well for a podcast, but the artifacts and leveling your artifacts. But I think it might be best to look at a guide. Like, I'll put your guide that you have on MMRC. Path. Yeah, like a recommended or suggested path, but I don't think that'd go over well, you know, explaining all of that. So we'll just put a link to your guide on MMO Champion, which has I saw a suggested path for that. I think would probably be best.
Cool. Yeah. I can give you a really short TLDR, and by short I mean actually short.
Okay.
You go straight for Impish Incineration, which is that extra point down in the very bottom off of Eternal Struggle. And then you go to Lord of Flames, and you get that one. And then you go back up, and you go towards the Conflagration of Chaos gold trait, and you get kind of like that top right side of things. And then after that, you can work down towards Dimension Ripper in the bottom left.
Okay.
That was TLDR.
Yeah, that works.
Cool.
You almost have to... I know we've been trying to explain this to a couple people in the guild too, but you really have to see it. And even after you get your artifact, you still have to see, you know, like go and find one of the theory crafters for your class and go and look and see like how the path plays out. So.
Yeah. And the one thing I would say is that there is definitely room for personal interpretation. Like, you don't necessarily have to take suggested artifact trait paths as gospel. Like,
right.
For example, like, if I'm working my way down to Dimension Ripper, it's kind of a toss-up between extra incinerate damage and extra rain of fire damage, and it kind of depends largely on what sort of content you're doing. Whether you're going to be casting more Rain of Fires or whether you're going to be casting more Incinerates. So you can kind of take your own personal choice over which one of those that you want. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's everything. So that's all I've got. I don't have any questions. So I think we're good.
All right.
All right.
Well, if you want to send an email to the show at the trainingdummies.com, if you have anything to add to this topic or questions about future topics, please feel free to leave us a voicemail or join our Discord over at thetrainingdummies.com.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you got for shoutouts tonight?
Bruce Alk for coming on. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, no problem.
We're playing a little bit of tag back and forth to get things going, but I really, really appreciate it because any help that Daryl can get is really good for the raid team. So big, huge shout out to Allie. She was the first one to get her legendary, and I happened to be tanking the mythic dungeon that she got it in. So you're welcome, Allie. I feel like that's just my gift to you. So I'm going to stop before it gets out of hand. Daryl, what about you?
Well, as always, a shout out to our guild had one job on the Earthen Ring server and our soon to be raiding raid team Crab Dick. Big shout out to you guys. Looking forward to getting back into raids really soon here. And of course to, Bruce Alk for coming on and explaining some of the intricacies of the new Destruction Warlock. Thank you. That was, as Rob said, very much appreciated.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
And do you have any shout outs? Oh yeah, it definitely helped.
Sweet. My shout outs, I'll shout out to, my current guild, which is Defenestrate on Blackrock. There's there's a great bunch of guys in Defenestrate. Also give a shout out to, my ex Modest Peeps. I think I'll forever be, and think of myself as a raider in Modest. Modest was a great guild. Other than that, I definitely give a big shout out to, Gatto, who does a lot of the SimCraft, handiwork for, Destruction and all of the Warlock specs. He does a lot of the implementation for SimCraft in terms of actually writing the code that lets us, simulate Destruction in SimCraft. And he does a lot of other theory crafting too. So yeah, that's it for me.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap this up, Bruce, you want to let people know where they can reach you or find you or if they have any questions about this topic or anything else?
Yeah, sure. So I have a Twitter. I don't use it too much, but feel free to send me stuff. I get email notifications there. It's just Bruce Alk at Twitter. So I guess at Bruce Alk, technically. And then you can always send me a private message or post in the Destruction Guide that's on MMO Champion in the Warlock Forum. And then if I happen to be online, you can feel free to whisper me. I will likely be in like a dungeon or I might be in raid or something. So I'll try and answer you when I get the chance. But definitely feel free to reach out there too.
All right. That wraps up episode 138 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!